Janice, thank you so much. What a beautiful offertory. Thank you very much. Wow. Now, some of you may have noticed up on the altar rail there are little hearts like this. There are only a few up here. I don't know, maybe 15 or 20. If you were not here last Sunday, would like one of these, they're yours to come and take. But here's what you need to do if you're going to take one. You need to listen to last week's sermon online so you understand why you're getting the little heart. Okay? It's just that important. So please take a moment if you get a chance and you want one of these hearts, you can come take one. It's to put in your pocket. You know, like you had the cross that you take in your pocket for forever. Well, that's kind of what these are about. But it just is a good reminder. And I would invite you to come take one, but it'd be helpful to listen to last week's message online if you get a chance so you kind of know where we're headed and why you're carrying that heart around. Now, so tell me, let's see, what's wrong with that picture? That's okay, that wasn't rhetorical. What's going to happen to that poor little cat? What? Eventually he's going to fall off, right? Eventually he's going to let go. What's wrong with this picture? Besides the guy's nuts. I mean, besides that, what else is wrong? The danger of falling. You know, they say the fall's not so bad, it's that sudden stop at the end. You know, that would really, really hurt. You know, I ask people all the time, you know, how you doing? And some 9 times out of 10, people say, oh, I'm hanging in there. And I said, oh man, don't hang in there because you're going to fall eventually. I said, you know, I say, stand firm instead. Keep your foot on the rock, man. It's so much better and so much more solid. Then I had somebody last week say, you know, we say, you don't, you tell people not to say hanging in there. I said, I actually do both. You know, I've gotten to the age where I stand firm, but I have to hang on because balance is the first thing to go. I'm like, I kind of relate to that, you know. So, you know, so this week we're talking about what it looks like, what it means to stand firm. Peter, in chapter 5, and if you've got your bulletins, go ahead and grab them, or your Bible, or your smartphone, or whatever device you want to use to read the scriptures as I read them this morning. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talks about the importance of standing firm so that we can grow strong in the right direction. He talks about why that's so vital for you and me as followers of Jesus to make sure we're standing with our feet on the rock. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But let me read this passage for us. And I'm actually going to jump in on verse 5. So find your way down to verse 5. And I'm going to jump in there at the middle of verse 5. Where it says, and all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him, and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. And then go down to the middle of verse 12. Paul, again, kind of runs over why he wrote this letter in the first place. Verse 12, he says, my purpose in writing is to encourage you and to assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. And then this next phrase, I love this next phrase. Stand firm in this grace. What a powerful word for us this morning. Now, I don't want to discount or dismiss anything that Paul or that Peter says in those first five verses. So let me just take a shot at it just real quick. Paul, in those first five verses, directs his words toward the elders in the church. Now, when he's talking about the elders, he's talking about in age and in wisdom. He's talking about leaders. He's talking about shepherds. So when he's directing these words in this first part of chapter 5, he's saying, okay, leaders, shepherds, wise people, those who are old in age and in wisdom. And he basically says to them, as you live life, represent Jesus well. As you're living life, as you're going about living life and leading people and being out in front of people, represent Jesus well. And to live above reproach in everything that you do. And to lead well. Serve and lead well. Guard them. Care for them. And then he switches gears and he says, okay, and now for those of you who are younger within the church, be submissive. There he goes back to that word again. We've been talking about that all the way through 1 Peter. Be submissive. Put yourselves willingly under the leadership and guidance of those who are older and wiser and more seasoned in their faith experiences. And then there are these key words that I don't want you to miss. In verse 5, I read them. Three words, he says, all of you. All of you. So, what Peter is saying is, look, what I'm about to tell you, and what I'm finishing up with here in chapter 5, this isn't about just some within the church. This isn't to just a small portion of the body of Christ. This isn't to about being older or younger or wiser or otherwise or seasoned or rookies in your faith experience and relationship with Jesus. All of you, the church 2,000 years ago and the church today, all of you as followers of Jesus, don't miss what I've been trying to tell you and am leaving you with at the end of this letter. Now, let me share with you this morning several principles that become incredibly important for us as followers of Jesus who are standing firm and seeking to grow strong in our relationship with Jesus and grow in the right direction. And the first principle is found in verses 5 and 6. And he says, be humble. Let humility be at the forefront of all that you are and all that you do. Now we talked about humility last week and a couple weeks ago. So I'm not going to wear this out. Just let me say this. What he means here is to clothe ourselves in humility as we relate to each other. We're not better than one another. Clothe ourselves in humility, even in the face of persecution, in the face of ridicule, in the face of suffering, in the face of mockery, even in the frustrations of trying to live for Jesus in a sin-sickened world, be humble. Be humble. Be clothed with. Get dressed every day with, be swallowed up with humility and a humble attitude. Now why is that so important? What's the big deal about being humble? Why does Peter keep hammering on this idea of being humble? Especially when we're going through that hard stuff. Here's the reason why. For many of us, those within the church, Christians, followers of Jesus, for many of us, we are really quick to believe that we can handle things by ourselves. Aren't we? If we're honest with ourselves, come on. We are so quick to think that we can do this on our own. We can do life. I don't need anything else. I don't need, you know, God's going to stay just over there. And when I need you, I'll call on you. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We put him over there on the shelf and say, hey, God, listen, I'll not bother you and you not bother me. But when I need you, is that cool if you come on and, you know, we're so quick to think that we can do this by ourselves. Sometimes we absolutely live in delusion that somehow we control our own destinies. That we create the rules, that we point life in the direction that we want it to go. And that we get up in the morning and make it happen. Okay, so here's a reality check for today. Not so. It's not about us. It's not about us. Be humble. Let God be God. Listen, Jesus is Lord. No matter what. No matter what, He is in control of all that we do and all that we are. No matter what life throws at us, no matter what trials come, no matter what kind of persecution happens, we live under His Lordship. You hear that? We live under His Lordship. Humility means accepting God's control, His direction, and His plans as being far superior to ours. Always. So be humble. Live in humility. But then the second principle is to let go and let God. Verse 7 says to give all of your cares to God because He cares for you. Give all of your worries and cares to God because He cares about you. Give. The word means to release it or to unload it. It's kind of like a dump truck. You know, when the dump truck dumps the load, it leaves it there, right? So that's what this is talking about. That's the imagery there that Peter is using is just let it go. Give it to God and leave it there. In the New American Standard, the words are casting all of, it's kind of like a, when you're fishing, anybody go fishing? Anybody fish? Really? Just a few of you? But you know, okay, so when you fish, you know, you got there and you cast the bait, right? What's that mean? You throw it away from you on purpose, right? So that's what Peter's saying here. Throw it away from you on purpose. Get rid of it. All your worries, all your cares, all your anxieties, get rid of it. Why? Because God cares about you. God loves us and cares about the situations in which we find ourselves. God knows us far better than we know ourselves. God cares. We can't do it ourselves. If we give it to God, the word says that He will take care of it. He will do it for us. When life happens, sometimes life happens faster than we can blink. You know? Sometimes life just comes, you know those commercials aren't, sometimes life just comes at you. You know? Have you ever said, or have you ever heard someone say these words? God will never give you more than you can handle. You ever heard that? You ever said or heard, what's the other one? Oh, God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that? Listen, if you've ever used them, if you've ever heard them, reject them. Get them out of your vocabulary. They are not biblical. Okay, listen to me. Hear me. It's not biblical. We are, listen, here's the truth. You and I, we are so often overwhelmed by life. We are overwhelmed with the struggle that life throws at us. And Peter is writing to people who were suffering from persecution. You think they weren't feeling the effects of worry and anxiety? When life happens at warp speed, stand firm in His grace, because you and I know that we can give whatever comes our way to God. Let go and let God. We can rest in His presence because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God knows us and cares about us. Let go and let God. Okay, here's the third thing. Verse 8. Stay alert. Be sober in spirit. Be on the alert. Watch out for our great enemy, the devil. All right, let me just pause for a second. I need to say this. At this very moment, when you call out the devil, I'm just telling you, folks, we need to be praying for each other. We need to pray the protection of the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. Because what happens when we call out the devil is he's not happy. People say, well, the devil's not real. Really? The devil's just this made-up figure. Huh. Really, I happen to see the devil all over the place in the world in which we live. Evil personified. We saw it just a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? In Las Vegas. Give me a break that the devil's not real. You know, I love the media. They're all freaking out. We can't figure out the motive behind this guy. I'll tell you what it was. Somehow the devil got a hold of this dude, and he flipped out. I'm convinced. Evil personified. That's the devil at work in our world. And we see it every day. So when we start calling out the devil, folks, listen, we need to really pray for one another. We need to really pray that the Holy Spirit would guard us and help us to walk in truth. The devil here is called our enemy, our great enemy. He is our adversary. The image here that Peter uses is of a hungry lion who's roaming about seeking those whom he can devour. The literal meaning of the word is the devil is lurking about seeking those literally that he can consume or swallow up. Listen, if you have any doubt, or if you have had any doubt, I want to tell you something this morning. The devil is not your friend. He's not your friend. He is a very real adversary. His whole purpose is to get Jesus followers to act and live contrary to God's plan and God's will for their lives. He is the enemy of every child of God. He is the enemy of our soul. Listen, he's not some cute little cartoon figure with a pointy stick in his hand and a pointy tail. The scriptures say that he is a liar. In fact, that he is the father of lies. He's a schemer. He's a deceiver. He's a trickster. So clever that he can disguise himself as an angel of light to suck us into doing something that seems maybe so right in the moment, But in reality, it's something that can destroy your witness like that. He can cause us, listen, He can cause us to question what we know is true about God. And even, He can even take us to the very brink of wondering if living for Jesus is even worth it. He loves to bring despair and discouragement into the life of a Jesus follower. He loves to get us on this self-pity train in order that we would take our eyes off of Jesus, in order that we would take our eyes off of what we know is most important, that we would lose focus on the one who loves us and gave his life for us. Listen, Peter says, be sober and be vigilant. Stay alert. Stay alert, follower of Jesus. This dude is real. And he's out for you and for me and people in our neighborhoods, roaming about, seeking those that he can consume and swallow up. Be sober. Be vigilant. Those two words mean to be at the same time calm and yet alert. Calm in that we know who is Lord, and alert because we know that the enemy is lurking. Calm and alert. Sober and vigilant. It's a big deal, church. Stay alert. And then the next principle, so that we can grow strong in the right direction, is to resist the devil. Resist the devil. Now, verse 9 says, stand firm against him, resist him, be strong in your faith. Be tenacious. I love that word. Be tenacious. Be resolute. Be firm. Be persistent with this dogged determination to resist our enemy. James chapter 4. See, okay, I want to say this. I want to make sure you hear this. Sometimes we hear, well, just resist the devil and he's got to go, right? Well, sort of. But that's not what James says. We forget the first part. Because the first part's the big deal. Oh, listen, here's what James says. Submit yourselves to God. Put ourselves in humility under His Lordship. Put ourselves under His guidance. Put ourselves under His protection. And then resist the devil. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh, he'll flee from you. He's got to go. The devil, listen, cannot stand in the presence of God. He cannot exist in the same place where God exists. He cannot be. It freaks him out. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Make sure it's in that order. Make sure it's in that order. What a powerful word for us to hear this one as another principle in standing firm and growing in the right direction. And then the last thing that he says is there in verse 12, and I read that for you a moment ago, when he just restates his purpose. Peter says, look, my purpose in writing this letter to you was to encourage you and to assure you that what you're experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in this grace. So church, I mean, Here's the question. Where do we go from here? Now what do we do? Well, and I think there are a couple options anyway. One, here's one option. Here's what you can do from today on. We can say, well, that was fun. That was a great series on 1 Peter. Those were really good sermons and then we go right back to living freaked out lives. And we can do that. And some of us might do that. Or the second option is to say, wow, that was a powerful word from God just for me. There's so much that I can do. There's so much that I can become because of what I've learned from 1 Peter. There's so much that God longs for me to do and be part of. Now that's the second option. And listen, what I can tell you for certain, I can tell you for certain that no matter which option that we choose, life is going to keep happening. Okay? Life is going to keep coming. Unexpected. Crazy. Sometimes suffering. Sometimes persecution. Sometimes ridicule. Sometimes mockery. Life is going to keep happening. What I can tell you for certain is that we are not in the same place that we were 8 weeks ago when we started in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're not in the same place. Now, we have some tools that we can use in order to navigate through life. What I can tell you for certain, in these days of challenging change, is that best of all, Jesus is Lord. And He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And He is with us. He's with us, church. Listen, I can tell you this. I'm not going back. I'm not going backwards. I'm going forwards. I'm going to grow strong in the right direction. I'm going forwards. Will you go with me, church? Will you go with me? Take a moment before we sing. And just ask yourself, what option are you going to choose? What are you going to do from this point forward? And we're going to sing together.